Blog Talk Radio.
You are fake news.
Yes, man, they are. And this is Kevin's Corner. Real news. Mixed with a little bit of comedy. Mixed with my own style and brand. My own personality, you know what I mean? But one thing you can always bet on, this is an ingredient in Kevin's Corner, is keeping it real. Okay. I don't even spare myself when it comes down to keeping it real. First person I check is Kev from Kevin's Corner. I'm like, Kev, now what you really doing here? What's your sub motive? Because I'm not going to deceive nobody, including myself. The worst thing for a human to do is deceive themselves, which we're going to be listening to when we get started, to a person who has deceived themselves, along with many others as we go. Now, today is September the 1st, y'all. Man, we are rolling along, aren't we? Going out of August and coming into September, pretty soon we'll be rolling into a whole nother year. Boy, I tell you, time goes by really quick. Now, if it's your first time visiting, there's a phone number behind me. If you do call in, make sure that you push 1 so you can speak to me, or else I'll just see you in there and assume you're just listening to the show via radio. Also, if you do call in, make sure you don't use no filth, farm filth. Thus, we got a caller. So let's get this caller in, and then we're going to move on to all the things I got to talk about tonight. So let's see. Here we go. Thing is working tonight. Let me check. And you never know with the internet. Caller, you are live with Kevin in Kevin's Corner. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Kev. It's Ryan from Virginia. How you doing, man?
Ryan, what's up? I think that was you. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, man. I was worried about you for a while, man. I thought they had canceled my Kevin from Kevin's Corner. I was like, man, I can't get my daily dose of breaking down all this nonsense. So I'm glad you're back. I just have a quick question for you, and I won't take up too much of your time. I have a theory about something I wanted your opinion on. So we're supposedly having shortages, all the inflation's going on. At work, at Walmart, we're having shortages on chicken. We haven't had fried chicken and rotisserie chickens for almost a week now. And so then I hear the Federal Reserve is going to be raising the interest rates that have been at zero during the pandemic and coming up in November. And, of course, you know, with the Biden administration wanting to put all those packages through, $1.5 trillion, $3.5 trillion, you know, they got to pay for that somehow. And they say, well, we're not going to raise taxes. We're only on the middle class. We're only going to tax the rich, right? So they got to pay for it somehow. So this is just my theory. My theory is that, of course, everybody needs their chicken. Everybody needs their milk. Everybody needs their gasoline. So, of course, they're going to pay more. So in the long run, you're still paying for it. Either way, you're paying for it. Doesn't mean you're getting it out of your paycheck. You're just paying for it when you go to the store. You're paying for it when you go to the gas pump. So they're really still getting you in the long run. In fact, you probably end up paying more because then, like at work, the 100 piece fried chicken that was $50 is now $100 at work. So I'm you know, and what's going to happen in November when they raise the interest rates, you know, on a lot of these things. So anyway, I just thought I'd get your opinion on that, and I actually got to get going. Pick up too much.
But check it out. As I get back to it, I'm gonna address that first. So if you want to hang in there and listen to my response to that, you're welcome. But I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold and address that and give you some feedback, okay? So, hey,
all right,
I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you calling in, brother. Hey, good luck down there. God bless. And we'll talk to you real soon. So guys.
All right, man. God bless.
All right. You hear my man? See, now he's on to something. He's starting to become one of those that ain't just monolithic. He's not just looking in the right straight ahead. You got to have your head on the swivel. If you playing the position of linebacker and your head ain't doing this, you're going to get blindsided. So now what's really going on is you look at the ruling class. You look at their goals and objectives of really consolidating power. And you look at what's standing in the way of them doing that, which is big old fat America. All right. And not just America, but all of their gung-ho patriotic, gun-toting, Bible-carrying, loving the country, patriots. That's us, y'all. And what needs to happen for them to usher in this New World Order, this they're calling it the Great Reset, is you got to start controlling supply and demand. You got to create all these scenarios and situations where you strain the pockets of folks to the point where it breaks them financially and makes them become codependent on the government or something like that. And you can't do it in a way that it becomes obvious that, yeah, we're responsible for it, because that's when you get your real revolt. That's when you get folks going, heck nah, man, go get my squirrely gun, mom. But you can do it in other ways, like, well, it's not our fault. There's a pandemic. Now, we done always had chicken. We done always had cows. In fact, to the point where I wonder, how are we even getting that much chicken and cows? Do you know how many chickens you would have to slaughter every single day to get all it? Because I know I eat a lot of chicken and some cows. So then, if we've been able to produce cows, chickens, and all this stuff all of this time, now all of a sudden there's a shortage. Why is that? Who's buying up all of the farms? Who is in control of producing all that meat? If you start limiting the supplies that people want, you create panic. You create folks saying, man, we're going on the government to supply these things. They can divvy it out. What can you do if you ain't got no food? If you don't have control over your own destiny, your own energy, your own jobs, your own food, your own house, all of those things. If you want to ever implement real tyranny and socialism without it being a complete revolt by the citizens, you do it indirectly and make it seem like you're really trying to stop it. Yeah, it's not our fault. It's all something else's fault. It's climate change's fault. It's not our fault that we got to tell y'all can't drive when you want to drive. Okay? Now, even though you're not seeing anything different in the climate, it's out there. So trust us when we tell you we got to limit your movement, your activity, the energy that you get. It's not our fault that there's a shortage on food and all of that stuff. It's the pandemic's fault. That's right. So when you get a society that is broken and start realizing, well, heck, I would normally want to fight back against the government, but I got kids to feed. I would normally say, let's go get our squirrely, but man, we ain't got no food. We ain't got whatever. And you look at the average American. When it comes down to food, we have become very reliant on it just showing up in the stores. How many folks right now, if the grid goes down, would know how to go out and hunt, catch a rabbit, wouldn't know what to eat, what not to eat? Half of the folks, especially them cats that are like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they'll be eating poisonous berries, dropping like flies. So it would make society become either completely reliant and obedient to the system, or it would leave a remnant of folks trying to live off the fat of the land or rebel. And so when you look at them ushering this quote-unquote great reset in, that's a great mechanism to have control over supply and demand, have control over your energy, have control over, you know, your communications. It's slowly but surely surrounding the people and blocking all the avenues they have that make them feel like they're free. And food is probably up there with, like, one of number one. If you can't eat, how you gonna fight? If you ain't got no chicken and no beef and you can't hunt and catch rabbits, you're gonna throw your gun down and say, I was trying to fight back, but I need a chicken bone or something because I'm weak. So we have to keep our eyes open in regards to this, because there are people behind what we can get and what we can't, especially when it comes down to stuff just disappearing. I used to get this cough drop all the time. I go into the store, it just disappeared. They're no longer making it. I mean, folks are just stopping making stuff, and I'm saying, well, the demand didn't slow down. So why are you stopping producing stuff that a lot of folks want? Well, who's buying up whatever? Who's compensating all of that? Or who's straining able to produce? You always got to figure that out, because that's the person and the mastermind behind the strategy of kind of boxing everyone in. It's no different than what they're doing with the mocks, if you know what I mean. I know several people who are in the medical field that have now been threatened if they don't receive the mocks, their job is going to end. Now, it's one thing to say, I ain't doing it, and maybe somebody might look at you differently on the job. It's a whole other thing to say, I ain't doing it and I'm going to get fired? What? So the same folks that they were, you know, hailing as heroes, our frontline workers, and you know, all these people putting their lives on the line, all of that time working with these folks, and they didn't have no you-know-what going on. Now all of a sudden they got this, and those same frontline workers who survived all of that is getting forced to either accept this or get a good way to make folks accept stuff that they normally wouldn't accept is you just start boxing off all their access to things that they either need or enjoy and all of those things. So now, no, it's not us. It's not the government trying to force you to do stuff. Yeah, granted, we encourage you to do it. However, it's corporations. It's hospitals. It's businesses. It has nothing to do with us, even though we have been coordinating with all of these businesses and these hospitals, and we have been pushing it on our end to them. So when it all comes down, we didn't do it. They did it. And they're private entities that really aren't private because they are in cahoots with us. We're really an oligarchy. So it's between a small group of elitists and a small group of corporate business owners and so on and so forth who get together and say, all right, you work them on your end, I work them on my end. But the average human has no idea. None of this is taking place. They were just simply all in line by going, bah. And with that being said, y'all, since Kev ain't going to fall in line and do nothing that the man tell him to do, dang gone it, I'm about to bring back an oldie but goldie because I figured YouTube is not monetizing my stuff anyway, so why not? Yeah. What?
Priceless. Right here. I rock the planet, beating my chest like a silverback. I hold it down, set my crown on them, I'm a silverback. There's some kings in the building, throw your fist at me, show some respect.
I've been waiting to bring that back for a long time. And they were swearing it, but now you know what? Copyright issues. We can't get... I said, at this point, it don't even matter. You're not monetizing my mess anyway. So I might as well enjoy myself. Real gorilla. So with that being said, before we get into some of the more serious topics, y'all, we start off talking about folks that's delusional. Listen to this young lady right here tell us about being blessed. None of us are blessed. Now, I wonder who this group of people, as you listen to her, I wonder who she's referring to. Let's see.
Just your friendly reminder that you are not blessed. You are privileged. What? Not hashtag blessed, hashtag privileged. So when you post pictures of your beautiful vacation or your healthy children or your lovely home and you write hashtag blessed, you are offensive because you were not chosen as one of God's favorites. You were given opportunities that other people were not, including access to health care, a job, health insurance. And there are many people in this world who are oppressed who do not have access or opportunity to have the things that you have. So you are not some man in the sky's favorite because you are better than others. You are privileged, and that's okay. Just use your privilege in a positive way and remember that you are not hashtag blessed.
And that's okay. You use your stupidity in a way that you've been using it. So as I look at this girl, see, first of all, I'm wearing my man hat slash American hat to honor all of these Americans who lost their life. As this snot nose right here is being convinced that we're not blessed, we're privileged. Now, first things first, what do I notice? She wants to remove God out of the situation. These millennials that are being influenced through academia, entertainment, and God knows what else. Yeah, you can't get credit to God. No, no. You can't say God equals everybody and balances everybody out. It comes down to there's no one greater or lesser in God and all that stuff. No, no, no. See, when you are a Marxist, there has to be a division. There has to be some type of social class, some type of, you know, financial class, all of that stuff. So here she is saying, you're not blessed, you're privileged. Well, I notice she's white, first of all. But secondly, she's in America. She's not over in Iran sitting in her car with her jihad on and all of that and stuff like that, looking like, you're very privileged, but I cannot say it because any minute now they might come. She's not doing that. No, she's sitting in her car. How'd you get that car? Huh? White lady? Huh? Are you benefiting off your privilege? That's what I want to know. Okay. See, as she's talking, I'm sure she's referring to who? White, middle to upper class, straight, heterosexual men, once again contributing to the divide in the country, once again creating some type of animosity, some type of controversy, instead of just minding your business and enjoying your own life. But she's saying you're not blessed, you're privileged. So now what about all the Christians that say I'm blessed? What about all the black folks who most the term I'm blessed? She's probably not referring to us, I'm pretty sure, if I was to confront this girl. Since everybody is on this kick that racism is running rampant, even though I'm white, I'm going to somehow exclude myself from being in charge of all of this white racism and systemic racism. I'm going to exclude myself, but yet condemn all the other white folks who just want to live their life, who just want to go about unbothered, go to school, enjoy a little bit of sports here and there, watch some TV. No, no. According to her, you just enjoying that, you can't recognize your, I want your conscience seared while you sitting there watching TV. Honey, I think we should turn it off. I don't want to feel too privileged. Yeah, I mean, there's someone out there that can't watch TV. We better stop right now in the middle. But honey, it's the climax of the movie. I don't care. Because there's some poor black kid that can't see this climax. We just cut it off and we'll go ahead and read about it later. That's what she wants. This right here is an idiot. So as she's talking about enjoy your privilege and use it to all this stuff, enjoy your stupidity. And I recommend that you don't use it. Because obviously she can't recognize she's benefiting from American privilege, period. Even the worst conditions in America are still benefiting off of American privilege. I don't know about you. I can't think of too many scenarios that I would rather face a physical challenge or just, you know, a circumstance, something happened to me, I'll get down on my luck or whatever. I don't know of another country I would want that to happen to me in besides America, because I probably can scrounge up some resources, Kev. If Kev gets broke, if I just really hit rock bottom, guess what I do? Hey, y'all, anybody out there who say they love Kev from Kevin's Corner, I need some chicken. I'm about to starve. I'm down on my luck. I will go through all kind of avenues that I will probably be able to benefit in America, but you ship me off somewhere else, and it's going to be hard times for you and me to see. But once again, y'all, she's an activist, and guess what? Now they got a new strategy, y'all, when it comes down to racism. Check this out. Michael Knowles found this one.
Everything's racist, even anti-racism. So, you know, I know it's complicated, but there was racism, right? And then there was not being a racist. So you're either a racist or you're not a racist. But then in the last few years, that's not good enough. It's not good enough to be not a racist. We hear from Ibram Kendi and Robin DiAngelo and all the other.
Yeah, see, that was that soul brother number one with the dreadlocks that looked like he was the predator. Need to cut him off. They're starting right about there. Yeah, him. That guy was out there telling folks, you can't be a non-racist, okay? Just by you telling folks you ain't racist makes you racist. You got to be aggressively attacking racism to show us and prove to us that you ain't no racist.
Hustlers. So now you got to be an anti-racist. But then what I just learned yesterday, this one's going to shock you, is that anti-racism is racist.
What? Wait a minute.
Trish Farley, she's a white woman who I met when I started working with the People's Institute of Survival and Beyond. And she calls herself, and I'm borrowing this from her, but it just, she calls herself a racist anti-racist.
What?
And I really love that term as a white woman because, again, you know this, and you know, for those people familiar with the People's Institute, the definition of racism, as defined by them, is race prejudice plus power equals racism. So in that definition, I am, as a white person, a racist. It doesn't mean that I'm purposely, that my beliefs are purposeful and I'm doing things on purpose, and yet I can't be a white person living in this society and not be benefiting from racism. So,
Georgia, she's a racist anti-racist. If I was her family member, I'd be completely embarrassed. I would be saying to myself, where did we go wrong? What happened to you? Now I got you on here talking about some I'm a racist, anti-racist. Now, why would you sit down and try to conjure up this philosophy, this idea? What are you trying to accomplish here? Let's see. Maybe Michael can give us a, uh-oh, Oh boy, YouTube done disconnected. Hold on for a second. Let's see if we can try to reconnect. 1 second. Facebook, bear with us. There we go. Looks like YouTube's back. I had to put my Wi-Fi on because you know how it is. All right. I'm telling you, I think they'd be sitting back waiting for me to go live. Like, all right, power down his internet service. Jeez, oh man. Anyway, now we were just talking about the crazy lady on here talking about a racist, anti-racist, all of that mess. Now, what would make you sit around and try to come up with something stupid like this? See, you can't just be normal. You always got to go and find something deep, some concept to make you stand apart and be a breed apart from all the other normal folks that just want to go about their business. So let's hear a little more about this.
I love that term of, you know, I'm a racist, anti-racist.
Oh. I'm a racist, anti-racist. So what she's saying, she actually didn't define it precisely, even according to her own kooky definition. She's saying that you need power. It's not just a racial prejudice. Black people might hate white people, but we're defining black people as not having any power here. So they can't be racist. You need-
now, see, when you listen to people like this who condemn a large part of our society without being in their heart, without knowing what they think, without knowing their background, they are trying to take the place of God. They want to be the one that judges all of the folks running around, but not themselves. This is false indictment upon yourself. See, this person has come up with an amazing strategy. It allows her to be in the category of a racist, but not. It allows her to be guilty, but innocent at the same time. So when you say, well, you know what? I'm a racist, but I'm an anti-racist. I'm not saying that I'm actively committing acts of racism, but just my existence as a white person makes me racist. I'm a passive racist. I'm a racist by default. That's what I am. However, because I'm able to recognize I'm a racist by default and all of the rest of you Caucasians running around have not recognized that, that makes you a real racist, an aggressive racist. That's what y'all are. So now I can feel good about myself and also put myself in the category of I'm righteous, okay, but not all of you. I can still go around and hammer all of y'all, accuse all of y'all, attack all of y'all while still feeling good about myself by recognizing that at the end of the day, just being white makes me a racist. Clever to the unlearned. But because we're learned, we know the trick. Let's continue because Michael's going to expose her too.
You need power in order to be racist. So the only racists, according to this definition, because white people are defined as the only ones with power, the only racists are white people. But she goes further. She doesn't just say that all racists are white people. She's saying all white people are racist. That even she, as an anti-racist, is a racist because white people can never overcome their racism, even if they become very conscious of it, even if they become activists on anti-racism, they still can't overcome their racism, which implies to me that maybe we should just give it up then. Who cares? If it's not possible, if all white people are racist and they cannot ameliorate this in any way, and you can't overcome it, then all right, I guess that's just how we are. Okay, where's the nearest hood? Because I'm told by reliable sources that there's no way to overcome it, so why would I try if you're telling me it's a futile attempt? But
thank you. That's one way of looking at it. See, when you see this liberal agenda, this Marxist movement that's being pushed, critical race theory, all that mess, it never surrenders the idea that racism can be weeded out. If you look at maybe up until the last 10 years or so, the average person was not walking around talking about racism. There was this unspoken understanding that there's not a lot of racists walking around like that. I'm talking open, defiant, like, hey, look, I'm going to let you know. I hate white, black folks. I hate Puerto Ricans. I hate whatever. We weren't dealing with that mess. And then all of a sudden, up jumped the boogie. All of a sudden, it came back in full effect. Why? Well, we needed a new strategy. We're trying to usher in the Great Reset. And we can't have folks that are coming into peace and happiness. Now, if you're a Bible believer, we're ushering in end times. I mean, at one point, we were all enjoying this. Blacks and white folks is in church together. Now, all of a sudden, you know, I guess they can't even go to church together anymore because these are systemically white folks right there that's racist. So what they're trying to do is take the place of God. When you, let's just use Christianity for a second. There's no greater sin, no lesser sin. It all comes down to you, your acceptance of Christ, your forgiveness of sin, and it makes an equal playing ground for everybody. But they can't have that. They can't have an equalizer. See, they want to take the place of God and say, there's one group of people that can never have redemption. Now, even though I'm a part of that group of people, I'm not a part of that group of people. But that puts me in a position to judge, do this. It's also going to divide this group of people who won't acknowledge it from that group of people who I am saying to them, you're a victim of these folks. So for whatever reason, you can't be a racist. I forgive your hearts. You have the right to hate white people. You can hate me. Just don't do what you want to do to me. Same to them. Now, see, you can do that to them. Not me. Not me. Because, see, I told you, I agree with you guys. I know that I'm racist on the inside, but not. But those guys break their windows, flip their cars, burn down their businesses. Show them that y'all ain't going to take it. And you're aware of this racism. As they sit back and watch this war take place in our country and poison in the minds of idiots like we're listening to.
But more, there's something even stupider about what you said, which is that it violates Aristotle's law of non-contradiction. Two contradictory things cannot simultaneously be true. Two mutually contradictory things can't at the same time be true. I cannot at the same time be a racist and an anti-racist. It's not possible. I can't do it. Just like this leftist year's Tumblr cannot at the same time.
Wait a minute. I thought that was possible. You mean to tell me nobody can be fat, skinny? You mean to tell me you ain't never met no short, tall person? You mean to tell me you ain't never met no cute, ugly person? Come on now. Surely, Michael, there's a way to fit this all in, right? Let's see.
I am black and white, right? To keep with our color and hue analogy.
Okay.
It can't at the same time be black and white because those are mutually exclusive things. They would contradict one another.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's that dude, Sean King? Isn't he black, white? Or that one chick, Rachel Dolezal, her? Isn't she white, black? So apparently you could be a boy, girl. I mean, everything is just pretty much relative in the eyes of these folks. And this crazy philosophy, y'all, they don't want no black and white. They don't want no absolutes because they can't operate and push their corruption if there's some absolute truth. See, so it always got to be a gray area with them. You know why? Because that's what they operate in. That's where crazy exists. That's where fantasy exists. That's where all of this opinion exists. And because everything is flowing and relative in that realm, you can't challenge my feelings, okay? Because when you do that, I'm going to give you the hand of I'm offended. That's right. Talk to the I'm offended hand. Let's continue.
It's not gray, right? It's not. It's either one or the other. Something cannot at the same time be true and false. It has to be one or the other.
Now, I wonder who likes that. I think it is Satan who mixes truth with lies.
But they don't know that. They don't know that. So it's all racist. It's all anti-racist. It's lunacy. And this is why, by the way, when you hear about critical race theory or you hear about some of this activism in the schools, one thing that keeps cropping up in all the pamphlets and all the lessons and all the PowerPoints is this idea that there is no objective truth. You remember that. In one of the anti-racist pamphlets from the Smithsonian, they said that objective truth
Well, there goes the Bible. No objective truth. Get rid of it, man. Oh, you know what? God's been tricking us. There's no good in evil. You know what? There goes the Constitution. Let's get rid of that mess. Let's get rid of the Bill of Rights. Let's get rid of all of that. There's no right and wrong. Why are we even whining over murder? I mean, it's relative. When you murder a white person like Ashley Babbitt, it's justified because she's a white nationalist white woman. Okay. But when you murder a black person, when it's justified after they fight with you, wrestle with you, try to run you over in their cars, all of that. You do that, and that's the kind of murder we say is real murder, okay? So now they want to put all of that into the hands of these folks, the elitists, the judges, like Greek gods sitting up there winging it day to day, deciding what is right and wrong at that moment. Let's continue.
Reality. Reason, these are white supremacist dog whistles. This activism, this ideology must undermine objective truth. It must undermine logic. It must undermine reason. Because if you have logic, if you have reason, if there is objective truth, then the ideology doesn't make sense. If there's such a thing as logic, then you cannot be an anti-racist racist, a racist anti-racist.
Well, there it is. Logic blows up this stupidity right here. They don't want no absolutes because they will become an absolute dummy, which they already are. They just don't know it. So now, when you hear them talking about where, you know, everything's relative, there's no absolutes. Well, that statement itself becomes an absolute if there's no absolutes. But what they really do is like this man explained.
In another sense, it's part of the general pattern of social engineers flipping everything on its head to scramble our natural human inclinations.
Oh,
it's also part of the left's bastardization and colonization of language. As Leonidas Johnson summarized, cowardice is called courage. Failure is called success. Men are called women. Abortion is called healthcare. Racism is called anti-racism. Fascism is called anti-fascism. Opinions are called facts. Facts are called hate. Regressive is called progressive.
That's deep. Did y'all hear that? That almost might be worth listening to one more again. One more again.
It's also part of the left's bastardization and colonization of language.
No wonder they try to control what we say and think. No wonder they be flipping all of these definitions that we all know in our mind. Well, no, that's what it is. The apple stem on this baby who just popped out means it's a boy. Well, no, it's not. That baby is gender neutral right now. I've never heard of that term. Well, exactly, because you're not learned like us. It's a such thing. I just made it up right now. So let's hear. What did he say again?
As Leonidas Johnson summarized, cowardice is called courage.
Oh, yeah, cowardice is called courage. Okay.
Failure is called success. Men.
Yeah, failure is success.
Men are called women. Abortion is called healthcare. Racism is called anti-racism. Fascism is called anti-fascism. Opinions are called facts. Facts.
Y'all getting this, y'all? So Antifa, as they practice fascist tactics, are saying that they are anti-fascist. It's in their name, y'all. And everything they do resembles fascism. Isn't that crazy? The Democrats say they're fighting for our democracy and liberty and justice for all as they remove it. Isn't that crazy? Wow. They want the power to be in the hands of the people, but we don't want you saying things that we don't like. We don't want you having guns to resist our tyranny. We don't like that. We don't like that. We don't want you to really be able to choose what you do with your body. Okay. Now, those women that's getting all these abortions and stuff, they get that right, but not you all. Not you all. Okay. We can, but not you all. Interesting.
Acts are called hate. Regressive is called progressive.
Court in Virginia was more...
Well, y'all hear this? Now, this right here, before we get into Joe Biden and the mess that we're in, okay, let's listen to this. It'll kind of make us laugh and kind of... All right, let me get Luke. This is funny, y'all. All right, so you know how people are upset at these school boards right about now. And these raggedy teachers, this embarrassing themselves, which I'm about to upload a series tonight, if I can ever get my computer to act right, okay, with me exposing some of this liberal logic. It's funny, it's great, so just, you know, keep an eye out for it. But nonetheless, they pranked this school board leader right here, and this was priceless. All right, a book right out of Kev's place.
More than 3 hours into his meeting when something very awkward happened. It was up to the part of taking public comments when the board chairman, Roscoe D. Cooper III.
What? Roscoe P. Train. How you going to name your kid Roscoe P. Cooper III? That's too close to Roscoe P. Train. Every time I hear this dude's name, that's what I think. Boss Hog and Roscoe P. Train and Flash, too.
Names of the people who submitted questions to come forward. The only problem is those people didn't exist, and the names he was calling out was what you'd expect from a group of teenage prankers. Here it is.
Phil McCracken.
Phil McCracken.
Phil McCracken. Phil McCracken. Sulk. Sook. Mahidic. Ophelia McHawk.
Billy McHawk. I'm loving this, man. This dude right here has been eternalized on the internet. Sorry, let's do it happen again.
Ophelia McHawk.
I'm feeling McHawk. He couldn't catch it. This dude didn't catch that. Like, wait a minute, I'm feeling McHawk. All right, here we go.
Eileen Dover. Eileen Dover.
Y'all hear that? I leaned over. My man's dead serious. I leaned over. Is there an I leaned over in here? Oh, yeah, you're leaning over right now as you have become the butt of all these jokes. Give us another one.
Don Kiddick. Don Kiddick. Wayne Kerr.
Wayne Kerr. What?
Wayne Kerr.
He couldn't catch that? I mean, first of all, it ain't even that many people in the room. Okay. Why are you calling, if it's like four or five people in the room, why are you calling all these names? Wayne Kerr. Yeah, you're the wanker. He don't even realize. I'm the wanker right now. The city sheriff didn't tell you. It's funny, Gary.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Now, that guy was the butt of all jokes, and he probably deserved it because these school boards right about now suck in their liberal agenda, who's lined up with all this garbage. Now, let's get serious, but not yet completely serious, because I'm going to turn to some real news, even though a lot of these networks call themselves real news. But yet, this gentleman right here seems to be providing more news and better news than the real news, and that is JP right here. So I got to give credit, all right, to JP, because he's providing us news in a comedic way, and I can appreciate that. So let's see if we can sum up this debacle that's been going on these last weeks.
Good evening. As Hunter's dad single-handedly caused the deadliest day in Afghanistan since 2011, should Biden be forced to resign? We'll have these answers and more for you tonight. But first, let's bring you up to speed about all the blood on Biden's clean hands. After military...
Y'all catch that sarcasm? All that blood on Biden's clean hands. So let's check in and see what Hunter's dad is doing. Okay.
Military intelligence warned the Biden administration that a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan was certain if Biden were to pull out all U.S. troops. Biden decided to pull out all U.S. troops. Shockingly, the Taliban took over Afghanistan.
So you're telling me, JP, real news? They told Biden, hey, look, Biden, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. He said, yeah, you know what? I bet it's not. Do it. And it happened. Huh? Crazy.
Leaving tens of thousands of Americans and American allies stranded as the murderous Taliban began hunting them down. Biden's decision to defy military intelligence came after military intelligence found no signs of intelligence within the Biden administration.
That's right. Right about now, if we went to the White House with a space suit, we'd be walking around like, oh, there's no sign of intelligent life. Oh, I've landed on a strange planet. Oh, there seems to be an old crusty skeleton in the Oval Office. As I peel back his skull, shows no brain is in there. Nothing. This was the dumbest choice that might be on purpose that has ever been made. Either it's the dumbest choice or the most evil and diabolical choice. One of the two. Here we go.
Biden then sent troops back into a now much more dangerous Afghanistan.
What?
And just days later, a bombing at the Kabul airport killed over 200 people, including 13 U.S. service members, making Biden single-handedly responsible for the deadliest day in Afghanistan since 2011.
But so you're telling me this creepy, sleepy, sloppy, sleazy, slimy Joe president, our fearless leader, has been the first to do a lot of things. This dude have destroyed America in record-breaking time, came in messing jobs up, all of that mess, opening up the border. I mean, he's breaking records when it come down to illegal immigration. He's killing it, y'all. This man's batting 1,000 when it come down to being garbage. And then he also, since they're anti-gun and they're always talking about, you know what, these assault weapons, you don't need them, just gave the Taliban the most assault weapons that's ever been given over to our enemies. Isn't that crazy? He gave us, he broke the record, y'all. He gave all those assault weapons to folks that didn't have a background check, nothing. Hey, guys, here's about the 60,000 machine guns. Take them. Hey, good luck. And now he also is responsible for all these soldiers being killed. JP, there's no way. That can't be true.
But if it weren't for Biden, the families of these fallen 13 U.S. service members
wouldn't have had the chance to receive the worst news of their entire lives.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
And that's something the Biden administration can start building back better on. Yeah. And to continue building better on it, during the dignified transfer of the fallen U.S. service members, as the nation was pouring its heart out with love and respect for them and their families, Biden was busy showing no signs of respect for them and their families as he was seen checking his watch.
No way. No way. Telling me Creepy Sleepy was looking for his lunch. That, oh, is it time for my pudding? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be serious, right? Let me read the rules. Biden, don't talk. Biden, don't check what? Oh, wow. I messed that one up, didn't I? Yeah. I'm checking my watch right now as I'm reading it. Uh-huh. Biden, just do what we tell you to do. What? Don't read the note out loud in front of everybody. Oh, I'm doing that too, right now. Oh, boy. So let's see if Raggedy Patty can clean up that PR mistake.
On the dignified transfer, and I want to get to Afghanistan. Some of the Gold Star families have criticized the president's conduct at the dignified transfer. There was a father of one Marine who said that the president appeared to be checking his watch every time a flag draped transfer case came out of the plane. And a sister of another Marine said that it felt like a fake encrypted apology.
Yeah, because it was. I don't know about y'all. I can see through that in a minute. Hey, as soon as he came out and started talking, I was like, it's fake. Everything about the Democrats is fake, y'all. And I'm amazed how they get away with that with their voters. All of the pandering. I saw a meme today that said, man, that speaks volumes. Got a meme of Joe Biden kneeling for George Floyd, but checking his watch for these 13 service men and women. Yeah, kneeling. I mean, he was serious, too, kneeling down. You see all of Nasty Pelosi and them. Now let's have a moment of silence for George Kirby. Don't even know his name. Coming in there with the African gear on, the dashikis and the red, black, and green, all of that. You know, talking about some, we're going to kneel in solidarity to Curious George. Don't know anything, but they pander. And then when we have something like this, crickets. Absolute crickets. They hate our country. And I despise them. I'm telling you right now, I am one notch because I want to get into heaven one day. One notch away from hating them. I'm like, stop me short, just very short of complete hate. Okay? What's the furthest I can go with disliking somebody without being accused of a sinner and hating people? I'm at that moment. I'm at that point.
Was the president looking at his watch, and does he have a message to those people who felt that they were offended?
Well, I would say his message to all of the family members who were there, those who were not even in attendance, is that he is grateful to their sons and daughters.
Really? The ones he sent over there, the ones he is directly responsible for their death? Yeah, that's okay, but he's sympathetic. He's sympathetic.
Sacrifice they made to the country that he knows firsthand?
No, they were not sacrificed for the country. They were sacrificed at the altar of Joe's stupidity or evilness, one of the two. See, that's not an honorable death. That's a disgraceful death because that dude caused it. It didn't have to happen. They weren't killed in field trying to go in and rescue folks. They were killed because of this dude's complete stupidity and others. And here she is talking about their sacrifice. Man, ugh.
What it's like to lose a child and the fact that no one can tell you anything or say anything, or there's no words that are going to fill that hole that is left by that. He's not going to speak to, and I'm not going to speak to, the private conversations. Of course, they have the right to convey whatever they would like. But I will tell you, spending a lot of time with him over the past couple of days, that he was deeply impacted by these family members who he met just 2 days ago.
Somebody said I'm blurry. Let's see. People down there, YouTube, can y'all see me? I can see clearly now. YouTube is acting right. Can y'all? Okay, good. I'm back. Okay. Now, y'all hear Raggedy? Raggedy never answered the question. Never. She never said, well, you know what? He actually wasn't checking his watch. He was doing something else. Oh, because he was checking his watch. Somebody said I'm blurry. All right, here we go. Then I'm going to go ahead and try with the Wi-Fi off and see what happens then. All right, let's see if it clears up. They're trying to mess with my chi. See, that's what it is. Right now I got the Bruce Lee flow, and they're like, uh-huh, messing with my chi. I don't like them messing with my chi. All right, now let's get back to messing with Joe's stupidity. He ain't got no chi. He got stupidity.
The mother of one Marine who was killed because of Biden's Afghanistan decisions had this to say about Biden when speaking of her son's death. I never thought that feckless piece of crap would send him to his death and smirk on television while he's talking about people dying with his nasty smirk. The dementia-ridden piece of crap needs to be removed from office. It never would have happened under Trump. She went on to call Biden a treasonous man and a disgusting piece of crap. This just in.
What?
Fact checkers had to make no corrections to her statements.
That's great, JP. I couldn't have done it better myself. So that parent who is listening to this dude get out there and give some fake type of accolade, this is bad. I'm should have never had me and my son both. And this and that, we're going to get them. We're going to get them. How would you feel? I mean, you're watching this all unfold. We're really not at war at this point. It's not like you even are expecting something like this. You're going, wait a minute, what just happened? Things were going well. I mean, we weren't hearing about none of this crap under Trump. We went from 0 to 100 all of a sudden because we wanted to work backwards. And this is what happened? Can you imagine the shock on a parent, loved one, if you get this type of information hit you and you go, now how did this happen? About 6 months ago, that was the last thing on my mind and on whoever my family member's mind was, this over there. And now they're dead. And this guy got the nerve to come out, their sacrifice was not in vain and this and that. I get mad thinking about Joe.
In other news, Biden left tens of thousands of Americans behind, along with tens of thousands of American allies, leaving them for dead in the hostile-controlled Taliban Afghanistan. But interfering with Biden's plan to get more Americans killed, a group of Special Forces veterans went to Afghanistan on their own private rescue mission to save American lives, as well as high-risk Afghanistan allies. Soldiers who assisted these special rescue missions chose to directly disobey the Biden administration's orders to not go outside the perimeter of the airport. And for all of you sitting at home with blue hair thinking socialism would be a good idea, this is what bravery, not obedience, looks like.
That's right, y'all. I salute those men. They get my cool glasses and my grown man hat. Uh-huh. They went out there and got it done. Now, what does that say? That says that our government right now don't have the will to get it done. It's not that they can't. They don't have the will to get it done. Creepy Sleepy is like, no. Let's go ahead and leave things where they are. I don't want any more trouble. Thank you, men, who went out there and did what you had to do. Good. Boy, we are in trouble.
Justin, these patriots are absolute heroes.
Yes, they
are. Chose to disobey the orders of an incompetent and cowardly administration in order to save lives and serve their country.
Darn.
Who is that Mark Twain quote? Patriotism is supporting your country all of the time and your government when it deserves it. Yeah. Meanwhile, as...
That's right. Beautiful statement, Mark Twain. Okay? Because our government don't deserve crap right now. Instead of focusing on that, they're focusing on getting the variant and stuff, and you got to get it. And we don't want folks that... And you know what? The kids need it. Forget all of the folks that said, I need to get rescued right about now. Two doors down is the Taliban knocking on the doors. I'm about two doors away from being killed. Being brought out on the news, reading a note against my will. And yet here he is getting on TV talking about stuff that don't even matter.
Those heroes are defying Biden's orders in order to save American lives as the Taliban is actively hunting down Americans and Afghan allies to murder them. The Biden admit.
Now, you do realize, y'all, if Hunty, baby Hunty, was over there, I don't care. I don't care if we have to sacrifice 100 billion, gazillion, million, trillion soldiers. Go get my son. That's exactly what would be happening. But because these things don't matter. I mean, Nasty Pelosi's kids aren't over there. Chuck Schumer's kids aren't over there. All of these phony behind Democrat leaders who hates our country, all of them, if their kids was over there, they don't care. If a million soldiers are sacrificed to go get their family, all of these fake wannabe social justice warriors like Tlaib and all of them love Islam and always talking about Islamophobia and all this stuff and women's rights. You don't hear none of them coming out condemning what Joe did. You don't hear them supporting all these women that's left behind over there. Are they? No? Okay. Okay, so they selectively pick and choose what they want to be mad about and protest? Okay. The
administration gave the Taliban a list of American names and Afghan allies who are currently hiding from the Taliban in Afghanistan.
No way.
What the f***?
Exactly.
Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who is a former Navy SEAL who served in Afghanistan, had this to say about it.
What do you say?
If true, this qualifies as borderline treason. We need to find out who is responsible for giving the Taliban a hit list, and they need to go to prison. Well, Congressman Crenshaw, it is true. And it was Biden who gave the Taliban a hit list of American names.
Wow. That just might be the dumbest thing I've ever... Hey, I just realized I look like Hawk from Spencer for Hire. Remember Spencer? Spencer. The dark-skinned dude named Hawk. Kind of look like Hawk in this name. Anyway, let me get focused. My ADHD kicked in for a second. Anyway, can y'all believe that? That is the dumbest thing anybody has ever done. Yeah, how you going to even justify this? Yeah, we trust the Taliban now. You guys aren't going to betray us, are you? Okay? Now go find our American citizens and bring them back.
So,
this just in.
What?
Some people are pretending that Biden is worsening the situation by the day in Afghanistan and getting Americans killed because of his incompetence, rather than realizing this is a treasonous administration using a demented old man as their puppet while it willfully betrays its own country.
Oh, the little sarcasm in JP's news delivery right there. So, what you're saying, JP, is that people behind this puppet, and I'm talking about dun 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 dun. We got the Muppet Show going on right now. Yeah. Animal and all. What you're saying to me, JP, is that they're using this dude for their own diabolical scheme and agenda, and Joe's just going out there going, what do you want me to say, dude? Okay, I guess that'll work out fine. Where's Jill? You mean tell me? This man was sitting up in the middle of the night in his right mind saying, you know, Jill, tomorrow I'm going to withdraw our troops just for the moment. I'm not even going to talk to anybody else about it. I'm just going to pull them out. Jill didn't say, Joe, who told you to do that? Joe, that's not a good idea, Joe. What are you talking about, Joe? I'm your babysitter. I should be at least trying to say, Joe, don't let these people take advantage of you. But she's not. Interesting.
I guess one step at a time when it comes to accepting reality, right? But of course, the Biden administration isn't betraying the United States. While it's busy getting Americans deliberately killed in Afghanistan, over here on U.S. soil, the Biden administration is actively taking away U.S. citizens' constitutional rights, creating a lower class of citizens, lying to its own people every day to try to control them with fear, violating the Nuremberg Code, which is a direct human rights violation of its own citizens. Oh, and trying to disarm its population.
Okay. Okay, so he's trying to bring Afghanistan to the United States. That's what you're telling me, JP. That's what I deciphered out of your sarcasm code. See, he hid that message in that code, I mean, in that monologue right there. So what you're telling me is they're going, you know why we're not mad at the Taliban? Because we are the Taliban. That's right. We're doing exactly what they're doing too over here.
While being very friendly with the Chinese Communist Party. So when you add it all up, I'm pretty sure the Biden administration isn't doing anything treasonous.
No.
Because it would be very inconvenient to acknowledge that reality. Oh, we happen to have a question from a viewer that's just come in on live television that's already written on my page. Dear One Source of Truth, when is it safe to assume a government has become treasonous and is betraying its own citizens and country. Well, they'd probably make an announcement telling you that that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And until that happens, it's safe to assume your government is not treasonous and betraying you.
No.
Because so thinking otherwise
those,
would...
For all of those that voted for Biden. Oh, God. And even those that didn't vote for Biden because they're dead and didn't know they were voting for Biden and all of those folks. Yeah, all those people who voted for Biden unconsciously and things like that, they have no idea that they voted for their own tyrannical government to enslave them and take away all of their civil liberties. No idea. See, they will tell us that the last president was the one responsible for all of that. And that's why we voted this one in. See, now remember earlier in my show, we were talking about how all they do is they flip terms, redefine things, control speech so they can control thoughts and all of those things, you know, flow of information. So now they convince all of them that by Trump saying America first, really meant white nationalists first. By Trump supporting the freedom of speech is really, I like hate speech. Okay. For with Trump supporting the right to bear arms is I'm encouraging a civil war. That's what I'm doing. And a whole bunch of killing of innocent folks for no reason. Yeah. Mass shootings. That's what he was doing. While they really are doing that. Do you think if Trump would have won, he would be encouraging all of these businesses and states to implement a you-know-what mandate? You think that would, you think Trump would do that? You think he would be in there telling folks that, you know what, before you get your job, before you keep your job, you got to get the job. You know what I mean? You got to get that job before you can keep your job. Okay. You think he would be doing that? No. The man is currently in there. Every single time he goes out to that mic, he's talking about that. Interesting.
Make you crazy. But Americans, I want to assure you, what? You can still trust that the government is protecting you. I mean, with a leader who is strong enough to hate America and to fall asleep during the middle of a meeting with Israel's prime minister, you've got no cause to be concerned. And when he woke up from not being able to stay conscious, the president had this to say.
As one nation, America mourns the loss of our brave and brilliant American service members in a savage and barbaric terrorist attack in Afghanistan.
Oops. That was a real president who cares about his country. Here's what Biden had to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, I gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
They gave him a list of people he's allowed to call on.
And who are they that are controlling him? Powerful leadership so far. What else do you have to say, Joe?
What?
Who? I've never heard of Kevin from Kevin's Corner. I don't know the guy. Don't know him. JP, that was great. That was absolutely great. You know, did you catch it, y'all? Y'all hear what a real president is supposed to sound like? Real leadership should sound like? And then you hear that feeble, very gentle voice come in that only encourages the enemies to take over our whole country.
I came into office. I inherited a deal that President Trump negotiated with the Taliban.
Yep, you heard it right here. Biden just blamed Trump for what he did in Afghanistan.
Had them, and I would have taken the equipment out. I would have taken the people out, and then we would have bombed every base but Bagram. We had to keep that because that's near China and Iran.
Yep.
So we were going to keep that for other purposes. I mean, they spent $10 billion building Bagram, and then they handed it out overnight. They give them the keys. I've never heard any. I have never seen stupidity like this. And they're trying to now the narrative. Biden got out like he's brave. He got out like a man that was just fleeing for his life. This is the United States of America. All over the world, they're laughing at us because of the way. Withdrawal is fine, but you withdraw with dignity and with victory. We had victory. They weren't doing anything at all, Todd. We had victory. They were. You didn't hear of one attack. Think of it. 18 months and not one soldier was killed because of me.
Ain't no sunshine when Trump's gone. Ooh, it's not the U.S. when he's away. Ooh, ain't no sunshine when Trump's gone. And the U.S. ain't no home anytime. own way. Y'all know the song, even though dang on YouTube cut my song off, talking about some reconnected. See, I ain't gonna let them win, okay? And I know. I'm back, y'all. You see, YouTube tried to cut me off in the middle of me serenading Trump. They ain't slick. I'm gonna finish the song later. All right. Now, let's finish here. Let's...
Former President Donald Trump there weighing in on his successor's decision to remove U.S. troops from Afghanistan. President Joe Biden has been in the firing line for withdrawing American soldiers from the country's longest war. The decision has left Afghanistan in turmoil as the Taliban has seized control of the country. Today marks the final day U.S. troops were on Afghanistan's soil, as August 31 was Biden's deadline for withdrawing American military. The last three military jets departed the country, with many fearing there are still Americans stranded. But the former president has not held back on ridiculing Joe Biden's leadership, telling radio host Todd Starnes he's never seen stupidity like this and the world has laughed.
No one has ever seen such a incompetent administration. I'm about to let y'all hear from the man who caused 13 people's lives to be lost. How mad would you be if this man we're about to listen to was responsible for your child's life being removed, your husband, your wife? I mean, that would be equivalent to putting a child in control. A child. Yeah, just put a kid out there, this 5-year-old right now is calling the shots. Yeah, well, today I like to see soldiers fight. So I'm gonna make y'all fight. And then him right there could go and kill somebody, and her, she can. That's equivalent. You'd be going, wait a minute, why is this kid sending us off to get killed? That's what this dude is right about now.
Sing it up. Mr. Trump told the host if his administration were still in charge, there wouldn't be an American left behind, nor would there be $1 worth of American military equipment. He also slammed liberal media for focusing on Hurricane Ida instead of having rational discussions about Afghanistan.
We have the people. They're not taking this. They are not taking what's happening in Afghanistan. And, you know, if you look last night, all they talked about was the hurricane. You look at CNN and you look at MSDNC. These are horrible. They're way down. Fortunately, they're way down in ratings. But all they want to talk about is the hurricane or anything else that they can talk about, because Afghanistan is not something that can even be discussed in a rational way. The level of stupidity
is off the chain. Thank you, Presidente Trump. And you know what's sad about that? Is these clips, since the real tyrannical forces control the flow of information, you think these bubbleheads hear this? You think these bubbleheads are able to listen to Trump's response in regards to what took place? No. I mean, I'm surprised this one scrubbed from the internet already. But, yeah, all they're hearing is this bullying fool.
Man, communists do not like to take any self-responsibility, do they? I'm personally paid to tell you I trust the president more already. What? And I wonder what would happen if someone told him that Trump isn't president anymore.
Sorry.
He is.
But I think the issue is, do you think that people have an issue with pulling out of Afghanistan just a way
of thinking? Oh. That's what would happen.
But y'all see that? Peter Ducey asked this dude a question, and Joe, I don't know what took place. I don't know if he went to sleep. I don't know if he had a slight seizure. All of those right on the mic. Man, good googly moo. Now, y'all know I don't bust my mom's term out too often unless it's needed. Good googly moo.
We have new evidence that Biden's claim that everything he screwed up in Afghanistan is indeed Trump's fault. Here you can see the full detail of Trump's plan and how Trump screwed everything up for Mr. 81 million votes. We're interrupting your normal breaking news with even more broken breaking news. We've just received a special report that Biden has officially pulled out all U.S. troops from Afghanistan, which means he's officially leaving thousands of Americans and allies behind. Biden's left them in good hands, though, along with leaving $85 billion worth of military weapons in the hands of the Taliban.
That might be the most boneheaded move I've ever seen. So now you're going to make the dumbest choice ever. Get American soldiers' lives lost, give a horrible response to it, and your way to rectify it and instill trust back into the American people is to tuck tail and run and leave Americans behind. I mean, at this point, y'all, anybody out there ready to, you know, posse up and maybe we can go on a rescue mission or something? Somebody put Florida Evans in there. Dang, dang, dang. That's right. That's a Florida Evans moment right here. And they left what behind, JP?
You can see the Taliban flying a U.S. Black Hawk helicopter that Biden left behind for them. They're taking one of the men that Biden left behind for a ride.
Oh.
You can see him there hanging by his neck. Now back.
Well, look at that, y'all. How the Taliban handles business over there in such a humane way. Looks like somebody suggested that they go for a helicopter ride, you know, with the rope around their neck on our helicopters. The helicopters that the Taliban didn't have before Joe left them. Uh-huh. God, this is the worst.
To your regularly scheduled propaganda.
Into our original question.
Okay.
With a huge disaster in Afghanistan, a loss of American lives.
And you know what? Before I even move, sad part about it is most likely whoever's flying a helicopter probably don't even know how to fly it properly. These dudes were confined to a couple rocket launchers, couple AK-47s, and they just came up on a pile of weapons and helicopters. They got all of this stuff, and they're probably like, I don't know really how to control. Wait, what buttons do I push? Is he still down there hanging? Yes. This is great example of what not to do in our country. We hang men, but I don't really know how to fly this helicopter. Thank you, Joe Biden. Thank you very much. Unbelievable, man.
A willingness to leave Americans behind to get killed by the Taliban and giving a hit list of American names to the Taliban and definitely not committing treason. Should Biden resign? The answer is a resounding no. Resigning would interfere with Biden's duties to serve the Chinese Communist Party. And when Americans were polled, would you rather have an incompetent Biden or a competent Kamala Harris in office? The results were, we're smart enough to know the same evil people would still be behind the scenes controlling everything. Well, America, your government is no longer protecting you. It's officially turned against you. So get your house in order because it's on you now.
Y'all, we might have to take a church break. Come on in the house. Cause it's gonna rain. I said, now come on in the house. Cause it's gonna rain, yeah. Dripping and dropping, dropping and dripping. Drip, drip, drop, drop, drip, drip, drop, drop. Anyway, this is the man who sent folks off the war.
And we know Hurricane Ida had potential to cause massive, massive damage. But we need to be prepared we're about as prepared as we could be. And we're in close contact with local electric providers, local electric providers, local electric providers.
I can't think of anyone better to lead this operation than Dan Criswell of FEMA.
Administrator Griswell, Criswell, you and I have spoken extensively about this. And thanks for joining me. I'm here. The FEMA director is on. FEMA director Criswell, she's on. And the administrator Griswell.
A breakdown in confidence and control of the government. And it still would have been very difficult and dangerous mission. The bottom line is.
What?
There is no evacuation.
No evacuation, y'all. This is the man responsible for folks' lives. This is the man that can make decisions that will cost humans their lives. And you trust him. If there was ever a time to think about going AWOL in the military, I'd be going, what? Joe's sending us to do what? Is it just me? The man's not competent. Y'all do realize we don't know if he's even knowing what he's doing right now. And we're just going to say, okay, I guess we have to obey this child who's telling us to go off to war. I would be mad as a family member if I've watched this montage and I said, that's the guy who's responsible for my son being killed. That's the guy right there. That dude who can't even hold a conversation made a choice that resulted in my daughter being blown up. I would be mad. I would be hotter than a firecracker, which we're about to hear from some of those people.
There is no evacuation.
Evacuation. New word.
I made a decision to end this war. I take responsibility for the decision.
Do you?
Now, some say we should have started mass evacuation sooner.
I think everybody should.
And couldn't this have been done in a more orderly manner? I respectfully disagree. Yes, the fact is, everything had changed.
Oh, God. Here we go. What my fault?
My predecessor had made a deal with the Taliban. When I came into office, we faced a deadline, May 1. The Taliban onslaught was coming.
Is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No, it is not. Because you have the Afghan troops at 300,000. The Taliban...
Wait, he just said that it was his predecessor that was responsible for this because of that deal. But there's Joe saying, no, it is not.
It ain't my fault. It ain't my fault.
Did Joe do that?
It ain't my fault.
Did Joe do that? Yes. Yes, Joe did do that. Now he's getting up here blaming it on Trump somehow. But listen to these receipts we're looking at.
An onslaught was coming.
Ooh.
It is not inevitable. We went for two reasons.
Is it inevitable or...
One, two.
What, Joe?
The Taliban onslaught was coming. It is not inevitable.
War in Afghanistan is officially over. The last American military plane has left the country, and yet
what?
The last American plane did not take the last American out.
What?
According to reports, there are hundreds of Americans left in Afghanistan, if not more. And yet, when you ask the Pentagon just how many Americans remain,
what'd they say?
This is the sort of non-answer you get.
Let's see.
And I'll refer you to the State Department on the numbers of Americans they're still in contact with. That's something for them to speak to.
So you can't ask, why would the Pentagon know? Why would we have any? You got to talk to the State Department.
Okay.
And then you ask the State Department, they don't really know either. A perfectly botched end to a perfectly botched withdrawal.
Worth it. You know, for all of those delusional Americans who thought that they were exchanging a limousine for a gremlin. That's what they got. I wonder at what point would they recognize we assisted bringing in the absolute worst president, not just in America, of all times. I'm talking about Uganda. I'm talking about some of the most crazy backdoor countries ever. At least even some of the wicked empires that had crazy kings through incest, even some of the worst folks down, I'm talking Vlad, Dracula, all of them. Joe Biden is the worst. Least these psychopaths and stuff had their right mental faculties. They were filled with evil, but at least they knew that they were filled with evil. Joe don't know nothing, y'all. Okay, nothing. But yet, here he is, responsible. And listen to this mother.
So my son is gone. Son was one of the Marines that died yesterday. 20 years and 6 months old. Getting ready to come home from Jordan to be with his wife to watch the birth of his son. And that feckless, dementia-ridden piece of just sent my son to die. Cannot say anything about, oh my God, I'm so sorry for the family. So my son is gone. And I just want all you Democrats who cheated or who voted for him legitimately, you just killed my son.
Bingo. Because that's exactly what happened. Uh-huh. They knew this man was not competent. The ignorant folks who voted for him, unfortunately, they're sheep. They had no idea what they were doing. But all those Democrats who know that this man was mentally compromised, all of those that worked in the media, she should have slid them into. She should have threw CNN into this, MSNBC into this, the New York Times into that, all of them. Big Tech, Facebook, yeah, YouTube, I hope you're listening. You are also responsible for that. Uh-huh. All of these avenues and entities helped contribute to that loss right there. covering up stories, suppressing information, silencing folks. And yet this mother, she knows. We all knew what took place on the 3rd. We know what took place. But yeah, she's right. Disgusted, just like I am. Now you see what I mean when I say I'm so close to having that I gotta keep it just one notch from complete hate, because I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying to make it into heaven. Let's continue, because somebody else got something to say about
it. Best that. Kid in the world. You couldn't ask for any better. Love his family. His sisters absolutely adore him. He led his men into that, and they followed him. But I know in my heart of hearts he was out for it. And they would have followed him through the gates of hell.
We thank the citizens that were not brought out, number in the low, very low hundreds. Number in the low, very low hundreds.
Well, how crushing could you think this moment is for the, let's say, 250 Americans and so many others, thousands of Afghans who were still desperate to try to get out?
I think it's absolutely crushing. Of course, Wolf. I spoke earlier on in the day with a family of four from Houston, Texas. They told me they had been going to the airport for 2 weeks, trying desperately to get out.
I picked up 8 green cards and 4 blue passport AMCITs, American citizens, now, as they have been completely abandoned after multiple attempts to get in to the Kabul airport and promises of passage to HKI. I have a 2-year-old American with lupus. I have a 12-year-old American with diabetes. I have an 8-year-old green card with asthma, abandoned by their government, but not by us.
That on August 14th, when this evacuation mission began, we got out between 5,500 and 6,000 people, Americans from Afghanistan. We got out 97 or 98% of those on the ground. And the small number who remained, we contacted repeatedly over the course of 2 weeks to come to the airport, to come to a rally point.
Oh, y'all hear that? Yeah. See, so as we tucked tail and ran after losing 13 of our soldiers, leaving Americans behind, his excuse is, hey, man, we called. Y'all didn't pick up. I wonder why. I mean, are you telling me that those folks that's left behind was going, man, I don't care, man. I love it here in Afghanistan, baby. I done blended in with the natives. There's no way the Taliban is going to come in and hurt me knowing that I lived amongst their country and I'm a full-blown American. I'll take that risk. They disgust me.
All troops are supposed to be out by August 31st. Even if Americans and our Afghan allies are still trying to get out, they're going to leave.
We're going to do everything in our power to get all Americans out and our allies out.
And are you committed to making sure that the troops stay until every American who wants to be out is out?
Yes.
So Americans should understand that troops might have to be there beyond August 31st.
No, Americans should understand that we're going to try to get it done before August 31st.
But if we don't, the troops will stay.
If we don't, we'll determine at the time who's left.
And
if there are American forces, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay till we get them all out.
Liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. First of all, it's sad that George Snuffleupagus had to treat him like a kid. Like, what do you say when someone gives a gift? And so here he is. Oh, well, what? And what? Oh, well, yeah, we're going to stay. We're going to get everybody out. And they didn't. They didn't. Liar, liar, pants on fire. But you know what? Those bubble heads that voted for him, Trump was the liar. He was the one that lied 56, 70,000 billion quadrillion times a second.
Feelings of desperation and pain, this retired Army veteran says, are part of the battle he's now fighting, knowing hundreds were left behind in Kabul or protecting his identity because his wife is one of the hundreds still trying to evacuate and escape the Taliban he helped fight.
What was it like for trying to get to the airport?
It was a nightmare.
His wife wasn't able to make it on a plane. President Biden says Operation Allied Rescue evacuated more than 5,500 Americans, but the veteran says many were left behind.
I want the government to know that a lot of Afghans, that they are Afghan Americans, they are Afghans with the green card or visas or SIVs, they are also left behind, plus our own Americans. And most of the people, if the president says like they choose to stay, no, nobody will choose to stay actually in that kind of situation. Because you, every single minute you're waiting for your death. And you cannot trust Taliban.
You know how insulting it would be if I was trapped over there and I hear this dude and his administration on TV saying, I wanted to stay. That's the only reason we left, because Kev was over there like, man, leave me be. I'm content. Somebody said, I'm fuzzy again. Is it me or is it? Yes, I need to know. Anybody on YouTube find me to be fuzzy? Somebody said I'm blurry. I got the blurry face. We got 412 folks watching right now. Good, man. I'm glad. However, they're messing with me. So do me a favor. Hit that like button and all that good stuff. Let me see if I can switch back off of the Wi-Fi again. Boy, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. But hey, guys, while that kind of clear up, listen. Oh, it says now I'm reconnected. There it is. I reconnected again. So I go in between. I'm double dutching back and forth between the Wi-Fi and the network. All right, now, listen to this, y'all, because a couple Republicans revealed what might have contributed to them stinking it up.
This failed withdrawal from Afghanistan clearly demands congressional oversight.
What?
This administration couldn't have done a worse job if they did it on purpose.
Oh.
But it's no surprise, this administration and our military leaders have focused on climate change. They focused on this phony allegations of white supremacy and racism within our military. Really? They focused on equity and inclusion, transgender policy. They even flew the gay pride flag over the U.S. Embassy in Kabul for 30 days in the month of June.
Well, no wonder. No wonder this was a debacle, y'all. Instead of cleaning up the mess, instead of focusing on real stuff, they were more focused on gender rights and transgender flags and stuff flying in Afghanistan. They were more focused on equity instead of focused on what was taking place over there in Afghanistan. And they wonder why it all went to crap. And here's Tucker, because these last couple clips, y'all, these men gave a beautiful response to what's going on. Tucker, let's see if we can make sense out of this nonsense.
In moments like this, Americans turn instinctively to their president for perspective and leadership. It doesn't matter if they voted for him. They want to be reassured by the man in charge. But Joe Biden did not reassure them. He didn't even appear. For hours, Biden remained hidden and silent. Finally, the White House announced that Joe Biden would speak to the country at 5 p.m. this afternoon. But even then, he didn't show. Joe Biden was fully 25 minutes late to the podium, like he had better things to do. And when he spoke, it was hard to believe this is the man in charge of our country.
There you go. So, Tucker, what he's saying is that man was 25 minutes late. You're the president. Everything should revolve around your schedule. Nobody can hold you up, Joe. I don't care what the conversation was. It would be like, look, man, I need to get to that podium. We'll finish this later. Okay, Mr. President, that's what it been. Should have been, brother. But, you know, they probably were shaking Joe. Joe, get up. Huh? What? I'm still asleep. I'm dreaming about corn pop. Come on, Joe. We need you. We need you, Joe. Somebody give him some adrenaline. We got at least get him through this next couple minutes. Give him the shot to the heart. Yeah, like John Travolta. Get the shot. Get the shot. Stick that mug in his chest just to get him to come out there. So here he comes. And yes, you're absolutely right, Tucker. It is hard to believe that this is our president.
Biden is fading before our eyes. He began by muttering something irrelevant and weird about his late son, Beau, whom he described as the U.S. attorney in Kosovo, as if that position exists. And then Biden pledged, his voice weak and halting, speaking at a pace half of what a normal person speaks at, that he was going to somehow hunt down and punish the people who killed our Marines today.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this didn't sound a lot like a withdrawal from Afghanistan at all.
Those who carried out this attack, as well as anyone who wishes America harm, know this. We will not forgive. We will not forget. We will hunt you down to make you pay.
The tragedy...
That sounds like an idle threat. That sounds like one of those, your mama's busy, and you acting a fool, and she's, boy, I'm going to come over here and spank your little butt. You know what? If I have to hang this phone up, I'm going to... You know she's not. You know it's an idle threat. Anybody listening to this dude or observing his behavior knows that that's an idle threat. They're probably like, listen to the funny president. As we occupy the president's mansion over there in Afghanistan, we're all having a great time in the gym downstairs. We're flying around in your Blackhawks and all of that stuff. We're eating ice cream, having a great time. As he's talking about, we'll hunt you down. Who are we hunting again, Hunter? I love Hunter. He's my son. You know that, right? Yeah, I helped him get a $1.5 billion deal. What? Hunt? No, wait. Well, hunt somebody down.
Oh, it was not a complete surprise. There was intelligence suggesting it might happen. Just hours before the attack, the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, which now operates from the airport, sent out the following alert. Quote, Because of security threats outside the gates of Kabul Airport, we're advising U.S. citizens to avoid traveling to the airport and to avoid airport gates at this time. U.S. citizens who are at the Abbey Gate, the East Gate, or the North Gate now should leave immediately. Well, that turned out to be relevant intelligence. Yeah. What did the Pentagon do with it?
What?
Well, not much, apparently. They were too busy tweeting about equity. This morning, the Sergeant Major of the Army, a man called Michael Grinston, wrote this, quote, Women's Equality Day reminds us we're smarter and more lethal when we come together as an inclusive, cohesive team. Okay,
there you go. Y'all hear that? That's the priorities of Joe's administration. Hanging up gay pride flags over in Afghanistan, tweeting about women's rights and equality, and we're more lethal. Lethal how? Lethal in regards to being able to stop that suicide bombing or whatever happened there, because the lethality didn't exist there. So as y'all got the tips, y'all didn't do nothing about it. That's what you're telling me. The fact that we gave up our air base for some reason now funneled all of these humans right into one place, whole bunch of sitting ducks, right? And you trust the Taliban to make sure nobody was able to come and blow folks up. And you're wanting to make it appear that these brave soldiers signed up for that.
Okay, so some large but as yet still unknown number of American citizens are trapped in Afghanistan tonight. And here we have the senior NCO in the United States Army celebrating Women's Equity Day, whatever that is. Send in the fighter pilot. It's also humiliating. Serious people are laughing at us, which is probably the point of doing it. On the other hand, Joe Biden doesn't really need the U.S. military to protect the Kabul airport because the Taliban now have that covered. General Kenneth McKenzie explained this today at a press conference.
It was a failure by, Taliban operate with varying degrees of confidence. Some of those guys are very scrupulously good. Some of them are not.
Now, some of those Taliban.
If this man who is talking about the Taliban, who shouldn't have had control of the country, and he's now talking about, well, some of them are pretty good. How would you know? How would you know some of those Taliban guys are pretty good? I mean, from what I'm understanding, these dudes was hiding out until y'all got on the wheels of steel and gained control of our government and our military. Now, all of a sudden, you're able to assess the Taliban, and they're pretty good. How would you know that? They just came out of the caves about 3 days earlier. And you talking about that, they're pretty good. You know what I mean? Normally they would have, how would you know that? Have we been colluding with the Taliban prior to this mess happening? Did y'all know that you were going to give it up to the Taliban? Now listen, when we give it over to you guys, make sure you put some folks in there to make sure the checkpoints are safe and all this. This dude sounds like an idiot. I can't even believe he's on here talking about this.
And guys are very scrupulously good. That was the official word from the Biden administration. Keep in mind what you just heard from the general.
Okay.
He said after the Taliban let a suicide bomber through a checkpoint at the airport that killed 13 Americans. But still, we're going to trust them. The Biden administration trusts the Taliban enough tonight, apparently, to share classified intelligence with them. Again, here's General McKenzie.
The other thing we do is we share versions of this information with the Taliban so that they can actually do some searching out there for us, and we believe that some attacks have been thwarted by them. And then we also use the Taliban as a tool to protect us as much as possible. So we share a common purpose. So as long as we've kept that common purpose aligned, they've been useful to work with. They've cut some of our security concerns down.
So we now.
I used to sit back and I say, you know what, man. Being a military leader or general or colonel or whatever, got to be a big test. You got to know what you're doing. Just like I used to think folks that were FBI, directors and CIA directors and stuff like that were competent. And it might be tough to do your job. But over the last 4 years observing the competency of our leaders, some of the military folks, I think I got a shot, y'all, just by watching Saving Private Ryan, watching a couple good war movies, and common sense, I think I could be replaced. I could replace, rather, that guy right now. Right now, I could replace that dude and get him out of there and do a better job. I could replace Christopher Wray, do a better job. Whoever the director is over the CIA, the NSA, all of that. And Joe, right now, I could step right into the Oval Office, like, all right, what's going on up there? There's going to be some changes. First things first. We're going back to get all of those Americans that's left back. Number two, We're breaking whatever agreement we got with the Taliban because we should have never been negotiating with them in the first place. Number three, we're going to recapture our air base. Number four, we're going to reoccupy our embassy that we just left back. Number five, we're going to find all of those weapons that we left and either regain them or wipe them out. We're not going to let these weapons be used to kill our own soldiers at some point. Simple stuff, y'all. Simple stuff.
Share a common purpose with the Taliban, the U.S. military telling us that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So naturally, the Taliban are now in charge of protecting our citizens. Hey, America, meet your new bodyguards.
Oh.
Bad news is they're the Taliban. It's hard to believe any of this is actually happening.
Yes, it is.
Or that that clip that we displayed is real, but it is happening, and unfortunately, that is a real clip. So what kind of information is the Biden administration now handing over to the Taliban?
What?
Well, according to Politico, quote, U.S. officials gave the Taliban a list of names of U.S. citizens, green card holders, and Afghan allies to grant entry into the outer perimeter of the city's airport.
Wait a minute.
What? We gave?
That's what I was thinking, Tucker. Maybe he's talking about a different Taliban. Because he can't be talking about the Taliban that we spent all of these years in Afghanistan fighting. You cannot be saying right about now you gave that list to them. Sometimes, and I'm a man that rarely is just short on words, but the level of stupidity right there is almost speechless. I don't. It's one of the moments where you're going, it's surreal. I don't even know what to say to that. That's how crazy what they did is. And yes, you're right. It's traitorous. If I was over there and I was trying to get out, and I watched the news and they say, here's a list of all the people still in there. Taliban, if you run across them, could you help them get to the airport so we can... Do you understand? I would be going, my president just betrayed me. My president just gave over a list. So when I do come, they'd be like, this is the man we're looking for right there. Grab him, put him on helicopter, take him for a ride. Helicopters that Joe Biden left behind for us.
Give the Taliban the names of U.S. citizens in Afghanistan? We don't have special operators anymore? Why are we doing that? Why would we give it to the Taliban?
Yeah,
that can't be right. Well, it is right.
It's true.
It's true. The Biden administration handed the Taliban a list of Americans who are still in Afghanistan. Joe Biden all but confirmed that today. Apparently, it makes the Taliban's job easier. The question is, what is that? That's one of many questions. Thanks for coming
now,
on.
You're the first. Because these men right here are mad. These are folks who actually have some skin in the game. Y'all, they fired me up, y'all, and told the truth while doing it.
First in our lineup this evening, so I'd ask you for your baseline perceptions here. What do you think of what you've seen today?
Well, today has been an absolute tragedy, but unfortunately, I think we're seeing over nearly two decades of lies come unraveling. The U.S. military has been saying for nearly two decades we've built this Afghan government and this Afghan army and that they were worthy of the sacrifice of our brave young men and women. And then we're also seeing the lies of the Biden administration come unfolding as well. There was a hard plan and a deal to get us out by May, but Biden did not want to execute President Trump's plan to get us out by May, the deal that he negotiated from a position of strength. Instead, he wanted to cut a separate deal, his own deal, that gave the Taliban 3 months of prime fight season time to plan this assault that we're seeing now. And now we are completely at the mercy of the Taliban.
That's not a good look. This man right here actually was over there. He's a soldier, a former soldier. This man is getting it right. So let me understand. Just because Democrats hated Trump so much to where it's like, you know what? Even if Trump did stuff that was extremely smart and effective, we're going to unravel that. We're going to do the opposite of Trump. We're going to do the opposite of smart because we're dumb. So if that's smart, we're dumb. Okay? I mean, I would expect nothing else out of the Democrats. They don't care about American lives. I mean, heck. We know that just based on the border, the fact that they leave our border open. You think they care about Americans? No, no. The fact that they use Americans' emotions and feelings and insecurities and history that they're responsible for to create hate and division lets me know they don't care about these 13 people. I mean, heck, we watch these same Democrats incite riot after riot, encourage it, get folks free from jail, expunge folks' records, help bail them out, all of that stuff. As American lives were lost to serve a goal and objective to help get them back in power. They were all tools of the Democrats. Now, you think they're mourning about these 13 soldiers? No. Drop in the bucket. They didn't mourn about police that were killed. They didn't mourn about citizens that were shot, all of that. But they did mourn about those four big for nothing, sorry behind activist police officers that came up there talking about, and I was scared, and they looked at me and told me, he's no way, he's just a dummy, and then out. They mourned over that. We saw Adam Pencil Neck Shift crying, that other rhino crying, all of that. Where are they now? Not one tear shed over these guys. Not one. Man, you know, yeah, be careful where I say on the internet nowadays, y'all. But let's just say my thought involves a foot in someone's butt. That's what it is. It's just you put it together. In my mind, there's a foot, and then somehow there's a butt in my mind. And you just put it together. Okay, here we go.
And our troops are hostages, essentially, and we are not taking proactive steps to go on the offensive to get our people out of there. We're prioritizing refugees and anyone but Americans. It's an absolute disgrace.
It does seem pretty...
But, you know, it's not shocking, because that's what the Democrats do. They're not about America first. They demonstrate this time and time again. And I am totally discombobulated, perplexed, dumbfounded, at the fact that we got Americans that keep supporting these raggedy politicians who have somehow tricked them to think that by doing things that hurt Americans shows that we're America first.
Be clear that in a situation like this, obviously it's complex, lots of moving parts. You know, I always give people the benefit of the doubt to some extent because, you know, it's hard. But any normal person who loved mm-hmm. his country would say job one is getting our citizens out. That comes before everything else. There's no question. I mean, anybody, any normal person would decide to do that. But they haven't. Why?
No, that's absolutely correct. The only reason that I can think of is just the culture that the Biden administration has set from day one. They opened up our southern border. They're letting thousands of illegal refugees in that way, illegal immigrants pushed in by the cartel. The Biden administration's national security establishment ran by Lloyd Austin, Blinken, Sullivan, all of them. They are part of this culture that believes America is a power in dissent and that we are not a unique nation or an important nation. And that culture has echoed throughout the national security apparatus. And now we are prioritizing getting Afghans out of the country. And the only reason that I can think of to get all these unvetted Afghans out as fast as we are trying to get them out is to pump even more refugees into the heartland of this country. That seems to be the top priority of this administration. And again, it's a complete and total disgrace, and it's completely and totally reckless.
Oh, man. Jeez, oh, man. Every single word that man just said is 100. 100. Because these folks, if you want to destroy a country, you would do stuff like that. If you didn't like your country and you didn't prioritize your citizens over all other world's citizens, you would do something like they did. And this man called it dead on. You're going to sit back and talk about, yeah, you know what, let's go ahead and prioritize all these other folks. Half of these folks that we bring in into our country, they weren't interpreters. These were folks who's just like, look, man, I'm just trying to get out of here. We don't know what their intentions are, didn't get a chance to vet them. Nothing. Bring them in, regardless. We'll sort through it later. In fact, let's not even worry about that. Let's not even restrict them, whether they can leave the base or not until we settle this. Let's just bring them on over. Just don't shuffle them into my neighborhoods. They have done to our country. It's the opposite of what a government should do for their citizens. They're putting us at risk. They're making choices that's causing lives to be lost. And they should be removed, honestly. And yet they tried to remove Trump for a tweet, y'all. I mean, for a conversation, phone call. Yeah, that's what they did.
So you're part of the despised group that actually fights our wars. You know, working class kid from the Pacific Northwest. You joined young.
Regular human.
You got married. Your wife was killed
fighting one of these wars.
I mean, how much of their contempt do you feel personally as you watch them make these decisions?
I feel an incredible amount of contempt and resentment. So my wife was killed about a month after Trump attempted to get our troops out of Syria the first time. Every time that we attempt to end a war, the military-industrial complex fails catastrophically. Under Trump, they double-crossed him and lied every step of the way to leave our troops in harm's way.
Every time Trump went to get out, mysteriously, Syria started gassing people mysteriously. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. If you wanted to get America out, why would you do that? Why would you, knowing America's leaving, decide we're going to do the very thing that will keep them there? Hmm? If you wanted America to leave Afghanistan, if you're the Taliban or if you're even ISIS, you're telling me it's more important for you to run in and blow up some Afghanistanians and some American soldiers that just might keep us there. Is that, you couldn't wait a couple of days? You couldn't wait until they get out of the country and then do that? I wonder what's really going on, y'all. That's all I'm saying. I wonder what's really going on. Because see, even as I think like the villain and the hero, if I'm the villain and I want to get the enemy out of my country, blowing up citizens probably is not the way to do that at the last second. Gassing citizens probably isn't the way I would operate if I wanted America to leave. So all of that intel they was giving Trump, you know, okay, all right, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and respond, but what I'm not going to do is just go full-blown into war with Syria because they wanted to keep us over there. That's what it is.
Tried to get us out of Afghanistan as well. He finally came up with a deal to get us out in May. The military-industrial complex has now lied to President Biden. They did not prepare us to get out right now, according to Biden's timeline. Biden should have never made that deal. He should have had us out in May. And the military-industrial complex should have not lied to a duly elected president. That's President Trump, not President Biden.
Oh. Word. Did y'all hear this, dude? He said a duly elected president. That's President Trump, not President Biden.
They shouldn't have lied to either one, and they should have had a plan to get us out, but it's clear that they didn't. I can feel the contempt. The politicians and the military-industrial complex, the unelected bureaucrats, they treat us just as cannon fodder to make their political gains, and we do not have to take that anymore. This is our country, and we need to start taking it back. It's all crumbling apart right now, the illegitimacy of the Biden administration and the illegitimacy of our permanent ruling class.
God don't like us. See, what doesn't come out in the wash will come out in that rinse. So you got the raggedy administration on the wheels of steel, and it shows. It shows incompetence, all right, in their performance, all of that stuff. We know Biden's not running things. Somebody else is. But because it was not really begotten fairly, now some of that stuff is starting to leak out. Some of stupidity and evil is being manifested. And if folks had any type of, you know, honesty that helped assist this, they would be going, man, I can't believe we contributed to this chaos. But let's continue.
Man, you're making me upset just hearing those words
too,
because
Tucker.
They're so clearly true. And I think anyone listening tonight who's lived in this country for the last 20 years knows that what you said is exactly right. And my last question to you, not to increase the level of bitterness here, but there are a lot of people responsible for the debacle that we're seeing now for the death of those 13 Marines, the Navy corpsmen. Today, and you wonder if any of them will ever be held accountable for what they did.
Accountable? What's that? Democrats,
they will be held accountable. We are going to take the House and the Senate back in 2022, and we are going to hold a full inquiry on all of our wars, starting with this incident, starting with this botched withdrawal, and essentially working our way backwards. We know that we've been lied to about Afghanistan for years now. The Afghan papers came out last year that the media ran coverage for, that all started to expose the lies. We knew Iraq was based on lies. There will be accountability when we take our country back, and that's why I'm running for Congress, to take this nation back.
Man, we are rooting for you. Joe Kent of Washington State. Thanks so much.
Joe Kent, y'all. Remember that name. Now, I love Joe, what he's saying, but here's the dilemma, y'all. They have destroyed our confidence in the process. That's the only thing that scares me. When it comes down to what's going on out there right now in California with Larry Elder, my confidence level, feeling as if the process is honest, is shaky, man. It's more than shaky. It's non-existent. After what we witnessed couple months back, I just cannot go in thinking that these Democrats, after doing all of that just to get in power, you don't think that they're willing to do other things to stay in power? I don't trust them at all. I know at this point they are willing to do anything and sacrifice anybody to stay in power. Now this guy, woo, he is mad. We're gonna go out on him, man, because I was sitting there listening to him, y'all, hearing the Rocky bells in the background, like bing. Bing. That's what I was hearing.
Here he comes.
What do you think this means? What is going on here exactly?
Politics. No patriotism at all. No love of country at all. This is all politics, Tucker. That's why I'm as full of hate and rage right now as I have been probably since 9/11. I know for a fact either mothers or wives or somebody like that, they're getting a phone call tonight or will be getting a phone call shortly, and they're going to find out husband's never coming home again, daddy's never coming home again, my son's never coming home again, and I know for a fact the scumbags in the White House who run this country, they're sitting around a table as we speak, and they're not worried about mommy, they're not worried about daddy, they're not worried about that kid, they haven't shed a single tear for anybody, they're worried about poll numbers, Tucker.
Y'all, this man ain't holding back. He's coming out like, shh, guns blazing. Right now, he's Yosemite Sam. I'm the most rootin'est, tootin'est, shootin'est. This man right now, click, click, coming out firing on them, y'all. Straight up called them dirtbags. And that's putting nicely, y'all. They are dirtbags. Let's continue, though, because he's going to get even worse.
They're worried, what polls well? How are we doing with middle-aged women? How do you think we did with black people tonight? How do you think we did? These people disgust me. They disgust me as much as the Taliban disgust me. I'm so grossed out by the...
And he's right. He's right. I mean, that our leadership right now, there to me, there's no difference. Thank you. Lindsey Graham is garbage. Absolute garbage. You know, all of Mitch McConnell, all of them that sold President Trump out is garbage. All of them. They knew what was coming down the pipeline when the you-know-what fell out of nowhere. They didn't try to stop it. They didn't try to push for at least a good investigational process that will allow us to get to the bottom of how four locations mysteriously just shut down in the middle of the night. They embraced the stupid narrative that Trump's, you know, for insurrection and all of this. When they did that, I said, throw all of them under the bus. I want somebody to primary all of them. Graham, who's helping pass all of these dangling raggedy liberal judges. I don't know what they got on him. I don't know what favors they owe. He owes them. I don't know. Same thing with Mitch McConnell. There are those secret rhinos. Then you got those outward rhinos like Liz Cheney and some of the others. But all of them, sling them up under the bus, man. They disgust me along with the Democrats. And when I see what they're doing for our country and our American citizens, I see no difference between them and the Taliban. I see no difference between them and cheat, them and Russia. It's bad when Russia's president is going, y'all need to look at your own leaders. That's what y'all need to look at. Yeah, when China's criticizing our leaders and stuff like that, because they're well deserving of it. The way that they handled this debacle, didn't apologize, threw folks under the bus, left American citizens behind, while all the time focusing on us here and trying to restrict our civil liberties, while they're leaving American citizens over there. And they want us to look at them any different than a gangster, than a mobster, and the Crips and the Bloods and all of that. At least there's honor amongst them. Good grief. But these dudes, they disgust me. And this dude is on it, man. I'm right in his corner.
People who lead this country, our warriors deserve so much better.
They certainly do. I got to say, though, it does feel like potentially a turning point. I mean, this reveals such rot underneath.
Man.
Our credentialed class, you know, their claim to power is their expertise. They're good at stuff. You're not. What do you know? You're Jesse Kelly. Used to sell RVs. Shut up and obey.
Get him, Jesse.
But they've just revealed that they actually have no idea what they're doing. They can't even withdraw from Afghanistan. So what change do you imagine going forward this will spur?
Absolutely nothing. Tucker, they put Joe Biden in there on purpose. You remember they cleared out the field to put in this old man who's clearly half functional. Instead of dependable, we got depends in the White House.
Oh, my goodness. Jesse, did y'all hear what Jesse just said? Nothing. I tend to believe what Jesse's saying here, though. You know why? Because we sat and we watched no accountability happen to Brennan, Clapper, Comey, all of them. Nothing. Clinton. Nothing. We sat back and we watched them lie to Congress. Nothing. We sat back and watched them pull something right out from underneath us. Nothing. We sat back. We done caught them lying, cheating, falsifying information. Nothing. We sat back, got false promises of indictments coming down. Nothing. Nothing. And he's probably right. Because guess what? All the folks that could punish them probably is just as dirty as them. Even the ones that might want to probably got enough stuff in their past to where the real, real, real dirty ones got enough on them to tell them, don't you do it. Even if you get a bar who pretends like I'm really going to do something, I'm pretty sure even in his past, he got something that somebody was able to get to him and say, even though you got that laptop in the closet exposing Hunter and Biden, you better not bring that out. Okay. Now, we might not have a whole bunch on you, but we got just enough. So you better overlook that. That's why every time I think about what these guys are going to get as a reward, I'm now to the point where I'm going, well, God will get them. I mean, I guess, you know, they're waiting till the judgment day because none of our leaders are holding them accountable. And so this guy's calling it out. And he said something that was crucial. They paved the way for Joe. This dude would have never won the nominee. Never, never. He was getting destroyed. And then all of a sudden, Pete Buttigieg stepped down. All of the folks that were way more competent mentally than him just all just say, you know what, forget it. We're done. We're done. Give it to Joe. Because they needed an airhead in there. They needed a dirt bag. They needed somebody that was so senile and so dirty and corrupt that they pretty much could do anything. And someone whose political career was expendable. He's not going anywhere. This is the end for Joe. His political career goes no further than this. All those young folks, they say, if y'all step down, y'all still got a chance. Your political career still has a future. Joe is expendable. We've used him up enough. He's pimped the system as much as he can. Now we just need a puppet right in there so we can really the country and bringing in globalism.
The guy has no idea what he's doing, and the backup plan is Kamala Harris, who quite literally laid down to get the job.
Oh, he did not say that. Oh, he went there, y'all. Oh, shoot. He gets my grown man hat again. That's what he gets. You're that man. Says she literally laid down. That's right, y'all. We talking about Pimp, my man up there in California. What was his name? Willie, something like that. Slick, well, I forget his name. That dude right there was out in public with her, too. It's like, think about it, Roni. She's a sweet little thing. He was rocking that tenderoni when she was 29. Willie Brown, y'all. That's a pimp name if I ever heard one. Pimp Willie Brown, baby. Yeah. Pimp Willie Brown. All right. And then all of a sudden, her career took off.
These people don't care about country at all. There's no plan. And that's what's amazing right now, Tucker. None of them, not one person, not Lloyd Austin or Millie or any one of these idiots, none of them are looking in the mirror as you and I are talking and saying to themselves, gee, I think I really screwed up. They're all worried about their own rear ends and their pensions and their career, and there's no patriotism anymore, and it makes me want to vomit.
Yes. Y'all hear that? Now, do you agree with this man? Yes, I do. I don't know about y'all. Everything this dude just said, do you think they are losing one wink of sleep over this? No. No. All they do is they come out there and they fake it till they make it. This is a tragedy. We couldn't foresee it. You know what? We're going to be evaluating the situation. And that's it. They do not care one bit. If this was their children over there, they might say, let's go ahead and launch a rescue. Uh-huh. If it was their neighborhood, where all these illegal immigrants was on their front line, they might say, let's tighten up that border. If it was their cities that were being burned by Black Lives Matter, Antifa, then they would say, let's prosecute these folks and let's unleash our local police to deal with these folks. They would do it then, but not now. If it was them that were being forced to get you-know-what to keep their job, then, of course, they would be like, nah, forget that. We ain't taking it. Yeah, fight the power. All of them will become radical then. But it's not. They're the ones making these shots, these calls. So they don't care. My man here is calling it out.
Lloyd Austin, at the height of this 2 days ago, reminded us that the real threat is not the Taliban. No. It's white supremacy in America. It's Trump voters. Said that out loud.
Oh, yeah. Him and Millie. Millie was in front of Congress, you remember, testifying about white rage and how he wants to understand white rage. Well, we're finding out right now what all that's getting us. There are only so many hours in the day. Either you're digging into white rage or you're digging into actually finding a way to exfil your people from Afghanistan without American citizens slaughtered, brave Marines slaughtered, our allies slaughtered. This is more than just a national embarrassment. This is an international embarrassment. I can't even imagine what the military planners in China are pouring into the ears of Xi Jinping right now.
Jesse, This man's hot. He's dead on. All of these activists that Joe put in leadership positions, worried about stuff that don't matter, up here talking about some stupid white rage. I want to understand it. I want to understand white rage. That's how I want to understand white rage. Yeah, like he don't know what it is. Uh-huh. Look within yourself. That's what you need to do, Tilly. So you got these idiots focused on all this stupid stuff, being activists, and now all of this is happening. And my man right here is furious, and he deserves to be furious along with all of us that got some common sense. And he's dead on because as I think like the villain and the hero, if I'm Chi, if I'm Kim Jong-un, if I'm Iran, if I'm anybody, I'm looking at all of this going, this might be an opportunity. How can we turn this tragedy into a blessing for us? And then he's going to finish it.
Because I have to be honest, if I were them, I'd be landing on the shores of Taiwan tomorrow knowing we'd have a half-dead person in the White House.
Oh, he didn't even give him half. He gave him half-dead. And you know that's what China's going to do. Because as soon as this happened, what did China do, y'all? They sent tweets out, pictures and stuff, pointing to our soldiers abandoning all of those Afghanistans and say, hey, see that? Y'all see that, Taiwan? The America that y'all used to know. The one that President Trump was over and told us, keep y'all butts out of there. Don't be sending in military troops to mess with these protesters. That one, they're gone. They're gone. Yeah, we helped get them out. Now we got this puppet who we control. Now we got this puppet who owes us big favors. Big ones, y'all. Yeah, that $1.5 billion deal. Yeah, he can't do nothing. So guess what, Taiwan? We're letting you know we're coming. And you can't rely on a big, bad America because this is what they'll do to their allies. I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying, and let's finish this up.
Yeah, you might, if you live in Taipei, you might want to be buying lots of Bitcoin and picking up a condo in Santa Monica, I would say, right about now. Jesse Kelly.
Thank you, Jesse. Jesse kept it real, y'all. I'm glad that y'all hung out with me tonight. We're pretty much to the end of the show. But, man, we are in a mess, y'all. We are in an absolute, complete, just catastrophe. It all came about so quickly. This goes to show how important being informed is when you vote, when you choose your local leaders, and so on and so forth. If you put the wrong person in, it shows how quickly things can unravel in record-breaking time. All of this crap that just came down on America out of nowhere, none of this is by chance. None of this, including the you-know-what that's floating around. All of this stuff was brought onto the planet and to the earth and into America by design. And it all comes back to the folks that are in power, not a large percentage of people. This is a small select group of people who okayed this. And you think she didn't know about that mess? You think she couldn't have stopped that mess from getting over here? I mean, even if it would have happened by accident, we got word that he knew about it way before it ever even hit the United States. But I personally think it didn't even happen by accident. I think it was one of those, develop it right now. Trump will not play ball. He has disagreed to come into the world global power. So now we will send something. Messing with our dollar. And we don't like that. So they sent that mess right up on over here. And guess who probably embraced it? Those Democrats who had a goal and objective. We got